I want to talk to you tonight, right out of my heart, straight to your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. A lot of emphasis tonight on the heart, and this is what it says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. 1 Samuel 16:7 refers to the heart. It says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And then Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 20 said, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hand does not defile anybody." Then another verse, Hebrews 10:22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Just about everybody knows precisely what you mean when you use the word heart. For example, if you have a change of heart, you are thinking differently about a matter than you did before. If a star-struck young man who is courting a beautiful lady says, "She gave me her heart," it means that she is in love with him. On the other hand, that same star-struck young man would say, "She broke my heart." That means she took it back. Further examples regarding the heart. If your heart was in the right place, it means you meant well, but you messed up. If a friend should tell you, "I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart," it means they're telling you the truth. When our children say, "I cross my heart," that means they might be telling the truth this time. Sometimes we do not have the heart to tell someone the truth. If a person says, "I will take that to heart," it means that they're paying close attention to what you're saying. If another person says, "I know that by heart," it means they have that memorized. If you have a heart of gold, why then you're a very kind person. If you have no heart, then you're mean. If your favorite team loses heart, that means they gave up. If they showed heart, that means they rallied and won. When you wear your heart on your sleeve, you're transparent and everyone knows what you're thinking or feeling. If you really put your heart into something, it means you're passionate about it. If someone is lion-hearted, they are courageous. If they're chicken-hearted, they're spineless. Sometimes we can be cold-hearted and other times light-hearted. Sometimes we might work half-heartedly and other times whole-heartedly. We can be callously hard-hearted or cowardly faint-hearted. Everyone important to you is dear to your heart. So if I say this is a study straight from the Bible about the heart, you probably get a pretty good idea of what that means. We use the word heart in a lot of ways in our conversations. We see emojis of hearts everywhere. We read about it on bumper stickers and in books and hear songs about our hearts. By the way, if you're ever in San Francisco, look around. A few years ago, Tony Bennett left his out there. You might be able to find it. You probably have to be over 60 to get that one. But we need to put poor old Billy Cyrus on the prayer chain because he's struggling with an achy, breaky heart. And Elton John has warned us, "Don't you go breaking my heart." We hold our hand over our heart when we say the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag. The legends and the stories of every culture regale us constantly with symbolisms regarding the heart. And every religion on earth sees the heart as the defining organ of one's inner life. But even though every culture and civilization refers to the heart, and in many cases sets forth from the viewpoint of their culture what the true heart of a person is, and what it means in their culture, I think it's essential for us in this day and age when everything is being non-cultured, when everything is being canceled, when we are being told what we should do and what we should think by those above us in government. I think it's important that we see what does the Word of God say about the human heart. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment of all commandments? It's interesting. His answer showed where true faith and spirituality begins. I just read it to you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then in Matthew, Jesus phrased that himself from his lips, not just through the inspiration in the Old Testament, but the very words of Jesus himself when he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Mark 12, verse 30 and Luke 10, 26 phrase those same words over and over again. The heart is central to the Christian faith, as it is to all other religions, but that's where the similarity ends. The Bible takes the subject of the heart far beyond the treatment that other religions give it. It takes us to a depth of significance and content and commitment spiritually that no other faith begins to deal with. Yes, the heart merits a very careful and prayerful study. And reading in a book by Dr. Craig Troxell, he gave me permission to share different excerpts from his book. It's entitled, With All of Your Heart. He texted me that I could do this. So I'm indebted to him for some of the thoughts that I'm sharing with you. Some of them he wouldn't probably claim, but some of them are his. It might surprise you to know that the word heart appears almost 1,000 times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's used in the Bible more than any other word is used to define your inner self. The Old Testament uses the Hebrew word leb, L-E-B, 598 times for heart, and lebab, L-E-B-A-B, for the heart as well. That occurs 252 times. In the New Testament, the Greek word cardia is used 156 times, all of them in reference to the heart. A word that is often used that deserves our attention, that is used that much, should have a special meaning to us. That word heart, as it's used nearly 1,000 times in these 66 books, is like a searchlight. It shines on all of the human race collectively and all of us individually. It often is used in reference when it's talking about your heart as to what you value the most in this life. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Luke 6:21. Luke 6:45, a good person produces good deeds from a good heart, and an evil person produces evil deeds from an evil heart. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. 1 Peter 3:4 uses the word heart to describe the inner qualities of beauty. It urges us to let our hearts be our inner person, that we should strive to clothe ourselves with a gentle, quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. The early Puritans stated clearly that to draw near to God, or to attempt to draw near to God without your heart, is a pretend devotion, since God will not accept anything unless it is given to Him, whether it be our finances, our emotional being, our physical being, or our spiritual aspects, without giving it from the heart. I placed in your notes that not only is the word heart one of the most used words in the Bible in our English language, but it is also one of the most misused words in our language and culture. Oz Guinness contends that the biblical teaching regarding the heart and our cultural understanding of the heart today are two vastly different things. So much of the adult and adolescent sinfulness and craziness that our present culture is teaching us is under the maxim, just follow your heart. Have you ever heard that saying? I'm telling you, that is a dangerous saying. Just follow your heart. Don't take that as good advice at all. So much of what we're seeing, this silly brainlessness in that statement, is used to justify all types, not of godly behavior and of proper endeavors, but of ungodly behavior, laziness, disobedience, lawlessness, adultery, self-indulgence, and a host of other sins result from just, quote, follow your heart. A heart turned loose from biblical moorings in its natural state is deceitful and desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17:9. And to follow the indications of a sinful heart is to misuse and misdirect the very heart and life that God has given you to serve Him and to serve the devil instead. Never trust your heart to lead you any place or into any situation or to be around intimately any person that you might not or could not take Jesus with you as your guest and you both would feel at home. Never believe or follow that slogan, just follow your heart. It sounds cute, it sounds romantic, but it is foolish and moronic thinking and will lead you to the quicksands of a sinful life and remorse as well. Now, to understand the remainder of the outline tonight, remember that the vast majorities of the references to the word heart, as the Bible uses it, reveals that your heart, and I put this in your note, includes your mind. It's not something down here only, physically, that pumps blood. Spiritually, your heart, as the Bible uses it, is in reference to your mind. Not exclusively, but primarily. Proverbs 23:7 tells us, as a man thinketh, where? In his heart, so is he. Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable or pleasing in your sight. With that foundational thought, let's see how our hearts reflect the truth that we do a lot of spiritual thinking in our heart. Number one, we have a reasoning heart. We reason about the things of God in our heart. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him who has understanding, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. Mark 2:6 says, now some of the scribes were sitting there as they were following Jesus, questioning him in their hearts. Do you see the reasoning that was going on? And then in Matthew 15:13, for the hearts of these people are hardened and their ears cannot hear. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:17-18, may God give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart. Isn't that interesting? It talks about the eyes of the heart being enlightened. It is the heart that receives the light of God's truth, but the heart can also suffer blindness and confusion. It is from the heart that all thoughts spring, whether be good or evil. For Matthew 15:19 says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. God stated through the prophet Jeremiah in 24:7, I will give them a heart to know the Lord. And in Luke 2:35, Simeon prophesied that through Jesus' birth, that the thoughts of many would be revealed and a sword would pierce through Mary's heart. He wasn't talking, of course, physically. He was talking emotionally in her heart, reasoning, why is this happening to my precious son? Notice the parallels that David draws in Psalm 139, verse 23, when he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. We're talking about here a reasoning mind. Do you see how he ties heart and thoughts together? Proverbs 3:5, in that verse that we're all familiar with, the ties of the heart and thinking, says, trust in the Lord, what? With all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. Yes, the heart is where our intentions and designs are forged, whether for good or for evil. We see that going way back into Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, where it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. There's a number of other verses that I could give you that relate to the reasoning that goes on in man's heart. So biblically speaking, number one, our hearts include our mind. In other words, we have a reasoning heart. Number two, we have a reflective heart. We can reflect in our heart. Psalm 49 verse 3 says, my mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditations of my heart shall be understanding. Psalm 77 verse 6 says, let me remember my song in the night, let me meditate in my heart. The mind has a habit of learning or returning to what it has learned and reflecting on it over and over again. And God commends His people that when they do that. That's why it tells us in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, let the words of my mouth and what? The meditations of my heart. In other words, as I reflect on what God has done and what God is doing, let the reflections, the meditation of my heart be acceptable. The Bible expresses private reflection and meditation by using the word, or it adds to it, as a man says in his heart, or as a man says to himself. For example, Abraham, do you remember when the angel appeared, told him, and he was going to have a son? The Bible tells us that he fell on his face and laughed, and he said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? The phrase that Abraham used there, said to himself, translated in the Hebrew, is literally, he said to his heart. He was talking with himself, and he was reasoning with his heart and saying, that's what he says, but we know that's not possible. Each of us has reflective hearts, where our hearts cause us to think and contemplate things, either good or evil. I could share with you, but in the interest of time, I won't. 7 more verses that indicate that we do a lot of reflecting in our heart. And sometimes we say that reflection breaks my heart, or that reflection moved my heart. Or sometimes we can say, I have a clear heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, though good advice lies deep within a person's heart, the wise will draw it out. So we have there, we can see very clearly that we have a reasoning heart, the Bible references. We also have a reflective heart. And then thirdly now, we have a remembering heart. There's a difference in reflection of what God is doing in my life that our pastor challenged us this morning about reflecting on our hearts, where we're at in the present state, and remembering. You see, God holds us accountable for the things that we have come to know and the things that we could have known. Lots of times, I once had an experience where I was witnessing to a man years ago, and he said, "I don't read the Bible." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "I thought maybe you were going to say I couldn't understand it." You know, that's most people's easy thing to say. But he said, "I don't want to know what's in there. I don't want to know what's in there." We all know that we're going to be held accountable for what's in there. If you drive 60 miles an hour down Dewar Drive, sooner or later you're going to get a ticket. And you can tell the guy, you can tell the officer that stops you, he or she, and you could say to them, "I didn't know that was the speed limit here." And they're going to say, "You should have. It's posted every so often." You and I have more opportunities in America today to remember the things of God than ever. Television and radio and on our phones and, oh my goodness, internet just goes on and on and on. We will be without excuse in every area of accountability that, because though we had the opportunity, if we did not avail ourselves of it, that recollection of our hearts are going to be held against us, known or unknown. We remember things in our heart. Pray every day that God will give you a remembering heart. A heart that remembers His blessings. A heart that remembers a service like we had this morning. A heart that remembers all of the prayers that you can think of that God has answered for you. And a heart that can't even remember all of the prayers that God has answered that you don't know, but that were prayed either by you or for you. Luke chapter 2 verse 19 tells us, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them where? In her heart. When Daniel received remarkable visions and interpretations of dreams from God, he tells us in Daniel 7:28, "I kept the matter in my heart." He didn't forget it because he wrote it down, but he didn't write it down right at that time. And Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "I have stored up your words in my heart that I might not sin against you." When the Bible speaks of what God has revealed, it exhorts us to take it to heart. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 11 says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments." In other words, store them up in your heart. There are a number of scriptures that tell the believers to write something in our hearts. That's another way of saying, remember what I've taught you. When God gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai to Israel, He said in Deuteronomy 6:6, that verse that just follows what we read earlier twice, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Okay, if God's word is to flow from our lips, it must first be resident in our hearts. Why? Because as we've already said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is that not what Joshua meant in Joshua 1:8 when he said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, for you shall meditate upon it day and night." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Or you can have that Pastor Carlson translation, "What's down in the well comes up in the bucket." It works that way every time. It does. So number four now. We have a reasoning heart. We have a reflective heart. We have a remembering heart. Now here's the one that is probably the most important of all. God wants to give us a renewed heart and mind. The heart and mind are often referred together in the Scriptures. The heart includes more than just the mind, but that's enough for us tonight to think about. How clear it is that the most essentials of all of the aspects of our mind is that we ask God for a renewed heart. For a heart that does not lose its pliability, its elasticity. There are certain medical issues where, when the heart is, not the heart, but when the lungs are no longer expandable, when they don't contract in and out, what is that called? Anybody know? When the lungs kind of freeze up and they lose their elasticity and they can't function? What is it? Yeah. I think that's probably the end result of it. But spiritually, God wants us to have a pliable, moldable, renewed heart. It tells us in Ezekiel 36:26, he says, a new heart, in other words, a renewed heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And that word, the heart of flesh, means I will give you a renewed and obedient heart. And then he goes on to say, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Be careful to obey my rules. And then in closing, we must never forget the words of Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we often need to pray. And I want to pray this all the way to heaven in my life. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Just like we get into a shower or into the bathtub, and there we renew the freshness to our bodies by taking away anything and all things that are not essential or a part of cleanliness. The Bible says, create in me a clean heart, O God. I love the words of that beautiful hymn when it says, search me, O God. What a challenge again. I go back. I just have been moved by that message this morning all day long about staying close. I don't want to be a backslider. God forbid that I would be an apostate. So let's purpose. How do we prevent that? By giving careful, prayerful, biblical, daily attention to the seat of our affections, which is our heart. Let's pray. Father, our hearts, even after we're born again, cannot be trusted to provide us with adequate information and with biblical insights unless they are anchored in the Word of God. Don't let any one of us present tonight buy into that mindless thinking. Just follow your heart. Oh God, our hearts, even after we're saved, can be corrupted to selfishness, to laziness, to disobedience, to justifying things, as we heard of again this morning. Oh God, I pray that our hearts would be fixed up on the Word of God and the works of God. Don't let us in any respect trust in the human inclinations of our heart. And Lord, help us never to heed the cultural commandments that they would place upon our hearts today. Help us, Father. Search my heart. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, as we just look out over this congregation now tonight, that you would give us pure hearts, dedicated hearts, hearts that are fixed upon Jesus. Don't let us have hearts that are drifting along carelessly, shallow, in the shallows that we will run aground. Oh God, search our hearts and take out everything that is unclean, impure, unholy, that grieves or quenches the Holy Spirit. Convict us. Convict us even severely of sin and of unrighteousness, as well as righteousness and the judgment that will follow. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.